Good evening, America and the world. This is Progressive Radio Network, and you are listening live to Cheater and the Rude. I'm Jeff Reisler, the cheater, author of the book Get Rich Cheater. Frequent appear on the TV as the cheater guy that's talking to you. Yeah, that's right, the live show, everybody. We've been running some remixes lately because we have been gathering the great information. Well, actually, what happened is I'm in San Francisco up now. Normally, Lee and I are in New York, and it took me a while to get over here. I actually decided to use a solar-powered Segway to cross the country. You would be amazed at how much pudding you can get riding a solar-powered Segway across country. The people of Nebraska, you go through the cornfields where the sun barely makes it across the stocks. Women, men, every creature of the earth looks at you and just wants to give it up. So it took me a while. I had to spread like Johnny Appleseeds of love, and I don't know. But listen, today's special show. The Rude Pundit, Lee cannot join us, but you can check out his work at rudepundit.blogspot.com. It is genius and insightful and wonderful, as always. But I'm here. I'm outside the studios of Current TV across the street from Tactical Park in lovely San Francisco. I might stop the people and ask them what they think. More importantly, I want to hear what you think. We're doing the caller. We're keeping the free form. Come talk to me. You're regular listeners. You know what we'd like to talk about if you've never heard of the show before. And it doesn't matter. Here's the number. Ready? 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 It's 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. Engineer tonight is Giselle. Be kind to him. And when you call, do me a favor. I want to know your name and your superpower. It is a superpower season right now. We've got Batman coming out. His superpower is, of course, being compared to Mitt Romney. Although I think it's a little conflicting. Is Batman the guy that has all the money, he can buy the weapons to be a vigilante and do whatever he wants while hiding his secret underground lair, dressing up in strange underwear? Is he Mitt Romney, or is the evil character Bane Mitt Romney? Well, Slimbaugh would have you believe that the character designed almost 20 years ago was really a premonition. Although, you know what, actually, a smart person would have known 20 years ago that Mitt Romney was eventually going to run for a president to avenge his father's death at the hands of a Jack Nicholson-esque villain in an alley outside of a theater that he went to with his parents because he was a privileged child, but they left early because they don't actually care about art. They're more concerned about the appearance of caring about art. You people will understand that. See, what I'm doing now is I'm keeping the stuff inside and out for people on all levels, those that know all of the Batman movies and the backstory to Batman, as well as people that are up on today's news, such as Ann Romney saying something about you people. Today, Ann Romney, who's the wife of Mitt Romney, who is the husband of Ann Romney, who is the wife of Mitt Romney, went on and said on an interview with Robin Roberts on ABC that the Romneys have given you people all that they're going to give. I just saw a little break in the show. Do we have a caller? No, apparently we don't. I'm not even sure if you guys are listening to me right now. I'm here in San Francisco where, because it's 3 hours behind, I won't find out if anybody's called in for another 3 hours. It's very difficult to do this sort of math. There are a lot of people here. People are working. It's 6 o'clock. No, wait, it's 5 o'clock here in San Francisco. I don't know what time it is where you are, but I'm sure it's another time. People are walking with a brisk urgency, seen only by mostly people in iPod commercials. There's a lot of jokes to be made here. I love San Francisco. I lived here for a while. It's a very progressive city. It's a city, I would say, that makes me feel sometimes like a right-wing radical. They have recycling bins for every type of recycling item. In fact, when you throw away like an avocado skin here, not only does it get composted, but the energy of your arm tossing the avocado towards the basket is used to create an indigenous people that live inside of other recycle bins and feed off of the unrealized hopes of graphic designers and jewelry creators throughout the greater Bay Area. Yeah, my point is, Mitt Romney is generally an unlikable prick. I don't think anyone's looking about that. But yet, he holds national polls show him tied. Does this mean that polls are flawed? Does it mean Americans are stupid? Does it mean that people just don't like Barack Obama? Does it mean that Bunny is doing a good show? Or does it not mean anything because of the shooting? I can get upset. The water levels are rising. There are giant storms attacking New York. Does it really matter who's president? Is it too late? Is it too late? Should we just all start grabbing as much shit as we can and hiding in offshore bank accounts and wondering if we really give a rat's ass? I mean, what does Mitt Romney really want to do? Why does he want to be president? He has everything he needs. He clearly doesn't care about this country or you people. So what is the freaking deal? Like, why does he want to be president? He knows the world is ending soon. I mean, he's seen the Batman movie because he's in the Batman movie. And I don't know what it feels. That's just so disturbing. He's secretive. It's unclear what the fuck. I'm not saying Obama's the greatest guy in the world, but, he's been president for almost many years, 3.5 years. You get an idea of what he's all about. That's why it's hilarious. I mean, hilarious, by the way, is when really funny horses are tied to carts at Roman games and they race around in a circle. And they throw down the posture at each other. Hilarious! Tonight on Fox. Fox Business Network, probably. That's where they also have the harlots. And if you see what I'm trying to say, hilarious, harlots, all the basic things, and how much difference between hilarious and hilarious. Hilarious often comes with the film interview. Hilarious. And that's the thing about San Francisco, is you're able to get the salad as you want if you look hard enough. The city changes up. I lived here 10 years ago, and it was all different. Everybody then was just food. Just drugs and burritos. Definitely a lot of burritos. And a lot of Mexican food wrapped in a tortilla shell with beans and much like Mexican drugs. Totally different story. I don't want to go on the record for that because someday I might want to run from Mitt Romney. Apparently, if you plan your whole life to do something, and later on you don't want anyone to know what you've done your whole life, you don't do anything your whole life, of course. Because if Mitt Romney would not do well, if Mitt Romney was coming up now, I refer, of course, to the idea of running in a minor league of life, which he never did. He was one of those guys that got right onto the bench for the big league. That got him a job at the Cowboys. I mean, they're not losing, pulling himself off by his father's bootstraps. The point is, if he's just coming up now with the video camera phones and the who's a what's it and the darn tangle for noodles, people would be able to say, you know what I'm saying? The number again, 888-874-4888. The number again, 888-874-4888. Call in. Talk to me. The Rude Pundit has abandoned me. He is actually at a sex, drugs, and burrito festival right now. He has dressed himself up as a chicken burrito in those red wraps, like a red pepper. Sun-dried tomato. That and you just put himself out there to be taken by everyone that's their guns with that. So you may be interested in that, yeah. Former mayor of San Francisco just got into a vehicle right in front of the field of show here at Current TV. You should check out Current TV, the War Room with Jennifer Granholm. It's really good. The writer for the show is fantastic. That's me. I'm really actually working right now because we're on air. But you know what? I don't give a damn. I miss you guys. I miss my loyal listeners. I miss the call-in. In fact, I miss the call-in so much, I hope you guys do call in the show. Right now, call it 888. I never remember the next number. 888-874-4888. We're going to take a 12-second break. I'm going to brush my teeth and come back to the song that I'll make up for you. Michelle, break it. You take it. right, welcome back. This is the Cheater and Rude Show. I'll smack you whack. I don't know if it rhymes, and I don't give a sack, because you're on Progressive Radio. That's a fact. Hey, everybody, I promised you the song. We got some calling coming up. 888-478-4... No, it's not even... You know what? Forget the number. Look it up online. Go to prn.fm, where you probably are right now. Look at the phone number there and call in. But I do believe we have a caller, and I hope you'll give me his name and his superpower, and then we will discuss whatever it is. Caller. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Hello. Tell us your name and your superpower.
This is Bill Lawler, and my superpower is keeping my kids quiet in the backseat of the car while I call into your radio show.
Excellent. How do you do this?
We've been very good. Nice talking to you.
Yeah. Is there a secret to keeping your kids quiet? I have a newborn myself, a baby, and I need to know.
Television, mostly.
Oh, excellent. That is, that's how we're going to keep most of the future quiet.
It's very effective. It's the next best thing to drugs.
Yeah.
Or so they tell
excellent.
Me.
Yeah, it is. I think that if you'd been around Sigmund Freud, would have said the television was the opiate of the masses instead of whatever it was that he said. So talk to me, Bill. What is on your mind? I don't know if you listened to my caffeinated ramblings for the first 10 minutes of the show, but we were just talking about Mitt Romney and politics, but we can go wherever you want. Anything on your mind?
Yeah, well, I talked to you a little bit before, but I'm a Penn State graduate, so I've got a lot on my mind these days, especially as a parent of young kids. So I was calling to, among other things, aside from saying hello to you after all these years, to shamelessly promote my organization, which is a Penn State-related thing, which is called the Lion Fund for Children. And that's why I was calling in.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. I think all of our listeners know about the Penn State scandal, obviously. And is the Lion Fund for Children trying to help people specifically affected by the Penn State scandal, or is it just for kids in the area?
Not specifically. The geographic area is not even just Pennsylvania. It's actually all of the states in the Big Ten region. So it's a pretty big area. But the idea is that, you know, the Penn State community did some very good things, you know, sort of in the immediate aftermath of everything, you know, the revelations in November. But a lot of those came and went, and some of the attention to it came and went. But, you know, what we did is put the organization together early this year, and the idea is to become sort of a permanent voice for Penn Staters to be doing something positive in the name of, you know, kids who are victims of child abuse. So this is a coalition of about several hundred Penn State alumni across the world, and things are going well. I know it. And by the way, Jeff, and to your audience, I know this doesn't fit quite 100% with your what you usually talk about, so I appreciate you indulging me.
You know, it's I think it somewhat it belongs on any show, regardless of what you're talking about. You know, we tend to rant and rave and rage, but you're doing constructive work to help out people, and that's what makes a difference. And I'm curious, with all being mentioned, hundreds of alumni across the world, did all this just come together after the scandal came out?
It kind of come together. You know, frankly, my wife is actually a Penn State graduate, but as well, and some of her family. So, you know, we were just completely aghast and just crushed for so many different reasons as to what had happened. And like I tell a lot of people, and Jeff, now you know, you've got a little baby, by the way, God bless, but you know, you've got it. Anytime as a parent of young kids, you see stories that formerly might not bother you that much. When you have kids, they bug you. You know, you can always imagine it happened to your own kids, and these things really hit home for us for a host of reasons. So, but it didn't happen overnight, but there was sort of a core group that's been evolving since, you know, I would say February or March, and we're getting things together and we've really starting to cultivate a pretty good network. So, you know, things are going pretty well. Go go ahead.
Have you tried for or gotten any support or recognition from the university or like the alumni association, whatever that may be? I mean, it seems like the type of effort that the school would want to highlight, you know, as opposed to we here outside of sort of hear the reaction from Penn State alumni and students as mostly being defensive. I mean, you don't hear the people that are aghast and want to take constructive action. So I wonder if you've tried for or gotten any sort of school-related assistance or publicity or thumbs up.
Well, the university itself, I think, is just completely underwater. I don't think we haven't approached them on a formal basis. I mean, we have, we're fortunate to have some pretty strong ties with people in the alumni community, alumni association. The Football Letterman's Club is doing another thing called Defend a Child, which is another great initiative. So there's been a lot of hand-holding and people sort of, that's probably the wrong phrase, but sort of arm-in-arm, determined to do something. We've worked with a lot of people in a lot of groups like that. On an official sort of, you know, diplomatic level with the university, that's hopefully in the future. I think my impression of things with the university is that they're going to do some very good things, you know, to try to, you know, if you really want to be cynical about it, just to take the right stance on child abuse to help sort of rebuild the image. But I think there's a lot of people who really believe in that, and they're going to do some big things. You know, I don't think they know necessarily what all of them are, and I'm sure there's a lot of people coming out of the woods, you know, for better or worse, with their hands out saying that they want Penn State to fund their organization. And this, you know, so I think they're going to, if when it comes to sort of relative small potatoes like myself, I think they'll take their time. But we'll get there, and I think the university family has certainly been receptive, certainly the alumni.
Well, that's good. I mean, I'm blanking on other examples, but there's always stories about, you know, I hate to cliche of a bad apple spoiling a bunch, but obviously Penn State as a university has done a lot of great things and had a lot of great alumni and has nurtured the students and alumni there. But obviously that's a bit of a stain, to say the least, on it. And, it's in a way, efforts like yours kind of show the quality and the nature and the values that I would think the school would try to instill, because people can shout and scream all they want about what they stand for, but what really matters is what they do. And sort of what they do untaught, in a way, the fact that, you know, it sounds like you independently organize this, you know, shows the depth of your feeling about it.
Go ahead.
No, you.
The response we've gotten from, like, top to bottom has been really very heartening. I mean, it's a very warm reception from all of the student organizations that are, you know, jumping out of their skin to do something. You know, I think people are, there really are sort of two levels to it. One is that people recognize that, you know, Penn State now has this terrible stain associated with it. And that's not going away, and people understand that. On the other hand, too, though, people like me realize that, you know, it's one thing. Penn State has more than 500,000 living alumni across the world. And if you think about it, Jeff, it may be one thing. If you get that sort of power and that sort of global reach organized, it may be one thing to raise something like $25,000, $50,000. It's relatively easy in the grand scheme of things. But if you take that money, $25,000 to $50,000, and put it into a rural community in Indiana, or you know, a recovery center, or funding for a therapist in rural Illinois or in urban Chicago, that money can go an awful long way. So the idea is to sort of take that, right, to this huge global brand, right, and this great energy to do something, and try to transform that into something that hits the ground where it's needed most. So,
well, do you have a website or a place that people can find out some more if they're interested?
Yeah, thank you. The website is, it's just Lion Fund for Children, F-O-R, lionfundforchildren.org.
Lion like the Nittany Lions, not like Lion and Cheating.
Not like Lion, yeah, no. The Nittany Lion, L-I-O-N. Thanks for clarifying.
Well, yeah, this is Cheater and the Rude. I mean, people can get confused.
Fair enough.
So say that again. It's Lion Fund for the number 4 children.
No, not the number, the word. Lion Fund, F-O-R, children.org.
Cool. Well, hopefully our listeners will check that out. And again, I want to echo, it's a great effort. I, in my own small way,
when I was in San Francisco, I lived here about 10 years ago. I helped start a nonprofit for at-risk youth, and it's different communities that we're serving. But I agree with what you said earlier about being a parent now. There's a mountain of difficult challenges facing children that have the best of situations, the most loving, caring family, and the most secure communities. And then you multiply that times a billion for those difficult places or taking advantage of them. Sort of our duty as alumni of the world. How's that sound? Alumni of the world to do what we can help. So I applaud your efforts, and I hope that our listeners take a positive step. Besides trying to get some laughs, actually go and check out your website. LionsFundForChildren.org. Bill Waller, any last words? What's your latest crime fighting with your superpower?
What's that?
Is that superpower of keeping your kids asleep in the back of the car? What crime are you going to solve with that superpower?
Keeping my kids quiet, geez, it's almost limitless possibilities. I feel like I could go back to my old life and actually be productive. But if I can keep my kids sated with television 18 hours a day, but I won't. I won't.
I just said 17 hours and 1 hour of reading.
That's right. That's right.
Thanks, Bill. Everybody, we're going to take another 15-second break. We can go online and check out Bill's website. If you want to give a ring, it's 888-874-4888. We're going to take a 15-second break, come back, see if there are any more calls, and then I'll end on something that rhymes with pie. Welcome back, everyone, to Cheater and the Rude. I'm Jeff Chrysler. That was pretty cool. I still call to get some constructive stuff. I think both Lee and I sometimes feel like we're shouting into the wind, complaining about the hypocrisy and stupidity and destructiveness out there. And it's good to see and listen to and talk to people that are taking the baby steps to fix this world. Sometimes I think we're doomed, but then for a time to say, well, we can keep at it. We'll be okay. Actually, I don't know if we'll be okay, but we should keep at it. And, it's a small effort that will make a difference. It's unfortunate that it takes something shocking to jar people into action, but if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. I'll tell you, one of my sources of cynicism has been the lack of shocking to action. The fact that this financial crisis, this recession, didn't shake people taking action. 9/11 shook people to taking action, not the action necessarily that we should have. Very defensive, quote unquote, patriotic, very reaction. We would have thought that a financial crisis would have made people look at what was called the structural institution, the outlay of power. And Penn State was a great example. Others have made this analogy better, but it's an institution that is more concerned about protecting itself, protecting its ability to function and operate, than it is about protecting the well-being of the individuals that are within its community. I think that's not so much in a lot of ways. With the political parties, they're both more concerned with preserving themselves than about standing up and doing things for the constituency of their service, for our banks. Any sort of powerful now that through a reflection I think people see that. I think people know that on a general level. People know that on a conscious level too, but taking action to change that is difficult if it's not able to what to do. So my solution, of course, would be to go to my PayPal and spend the money. If I have enough money, I will figure it out. I'll triple down my economics. See, that's not just self-preservation. I've already said it. When I have my billions, first, obviously, part of it, for everyone that emails me, my Twitter, and follows me, I'll fly them all in to a closed location, and we'll have a good time. Then I'll take, 10% and I'll give it to charity, like Mr. Omnipod, but my charity will be disclosed. Then I'll take another 10% and I'll have some sort of investment fund for good causes, so it's not just giving away, but really people that are social entrepreneurs, social initiatives to change the world. Then I'll take 10% and I'll support Final Edition, which is a software and radio show. Where can I find out more about the Final Edition? Well, as it happens, the Final Edition Radio Hour every Thursday here on PRN at 8:30, following Cheater on the Route. It is actually a show that's taken a lot of my time, a lot of my energy. I'm quite proud of it. I'm with Tony Hendren, who many of you may know from Spinal Tap. He played the band manager, but also was the creator of Spitting Image in the UK. He's an original editor of National Cartoon. Tremendous comedy heritage, satire heritage. We've worked with people like Terry Jones and Peter Sagal, or folks from The Onion, The Daily Show. It's a fantastic program. I'm really proud of what we're doing here. I hope you guys are listening and check out the archives for the Final Edition Radio Hour. Tell your friends about it. Tell your friends about this show. I'll be back next week with Lee Popper, the Rude Pundit. Until then, so I got about 22 seconds left. Until then, I'm Jeff Kreisler. You can check me out at jeffkreisler.com, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R, or the Twitter, Jeff Kreisler, K-R-E-I-S-L-E-R. We got a Facebook page to see you on the road. Check it out. Search for it. We love PRN. This is all the shows here. Send me some money. Love each other. Change the world. Good night.